Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, Ed on the YouTube chat wanting to know when the quality of paper on Brian Callahan's call sheet is going to be discussed. We will get to that. Going a little bit later at 7:30.
Oh, yeah.
A very interesting development yesterday, in which was brought up last night at our fantasy football draft.
Yes. So. Garski telling us that he's basically Woodward and Bernstein. With this line of questioning.
We'll get more into that at 7:30. Taking your thoughts in the meantime. So Tennessee taking on NC State. It is one of the games of the weekend. Now, Texas-Michigan, I think, is probably unquestionably the game of the weekend coming up in college football. But Tennessee-NC State, a top 25 matchup, a neutral site game, going to be on ABC on Saturday night at 6:30. So a big one coming up for the Vols. It was a 4.5-point line last week. So heading into week one, Tennessee was favored by 4.5. It got to 7.5, basically by like Sunday night. So Sunday night, 7.5 points. So that's a pretty quick shift up for Tennessee in terms of the points. It's still at 7.5. I do wonder, as we get closer to game time, is it going to get to 8.5? Is it going to get to 9.5? Like, what's that going to look like by the time kickoff rolls around? And the reason I say that, Joe, is everywhere I look, people are picking Tennessee to crush NC State, and it's making me a little bit nervous. Josh Pate, who I respect thoroughly, was on his show yesterday, and he was like, yeah, I think Tennessee's going to win by double digits. Urban Meyer apparently is on some podcast now with Mark Andrews and was talking about Nico and was like, man, I watched the tape of this guy. He is unbelievable. He is I don't even care if it was Tennessee Chattanooga. So the Nico hype, you know, we knew that there was going to be hype for him heading into the season. And now that he's played one half of football, albeit very well, against Tennessee Chattanooga, a lot of hype on Nico heading into all this. Josh Pate also said in his show on Sunday night that he may end up being the best quarterback in the SEC at the end of the year. So a lot of hype for the Vols flying out there right now. Is that good? Is it bad? How do you view the hype train for Tennessee heading into this matchup against NC State? Also coupled by the fact that NC State looked less than stellar in their week one game.
And also, yeah, you got Rusty Wright, too, Chattanooga coach. What did they ask?
Do you think you'll ever see somebody like Nico again on your schedule this year? And he said, well, hell, I hope not. Which, I mean, they are in the FCS, so I hope not, too, for his sake.
That's right. Yeah, that's very fair. So as much as I like the Titans' psychological situation, I love being able to go into Chicago, all the hype, Caleb Williams, all that stuff. People don't think you're good. People don't think Levis is good. I mean, fantastic psychological situation for the Titans. I don't love this for the Vols. Like you said, NC State did not look good against Western Carolina. They end up winning by 17, but, you know, they had to pull away in the second half, and they were getting kind of physical out physical. I watched a decent amount of the game, and it looked great, you know, but it was also, it's like sloppy opener, things like that. So, you know, you've got that, and you've got Tennessee looking amazing. The thing is I don't like the psychological situation. It's a neutral site game. I'm guessing there's more Tennessee fans, but NC State has a huge fan base, and it's closer to show, you know, like the, yeah. So I think it'll be a pretty like a bowl game kind of atmosphere, and yet I still think these people might be right. Like sometimes it doesn't matter, you know. You can have that where people are praising you and they're a little down on the other team, and you still, and then everybody still is right because you're just way better than that team. Right. So I guess I'm kind of joining the chorus of voices saying, yeah, I think Tennessee might absolutely blow their freaking doors off, man.
Well, look, I'm not comparing this Tennessee team to the Georgia teams that we've seen or the Alabama teams. But the point I'm making is there are plenty of people over the last 15 years that have picked Alabama to just kick the absolute crap out of somebody and they do it. Or Georgia to kick the absolute crap out of somebody. I mean, look, it was kind of the same thing Georgia-Clemson, right? Like, everybody was picking Georgia to steamroll them, and they did. Now, it took a minute, but they eventually got there, and they did it. Now, having said that, you know, Saban was always worried about the rat poison, and Kirby's always worried about trying to get his team motivated and thinking everybody's going to pick them 7-5 and all those things, and we joke about all that. But I do think, like, psychologically, the mindset of a college team, I think, is way more important than a pro team. Like, I generally believe, like, if you're made of the right stuff and if your team's made of the right stuff, then it shouldn't matter a whole lot what people are saying heading into a game, and that's generally what I believe. But when you are dealing with 18 to 23-year-olds, like, I do think it's a little bit different than the National Football League. So I do wonder how this Tennessee team handles that heading into this week.
Yeah. Well, and look, and where that really plays out is during the week. And that's what, you know, I've seen over and over again. And yeah, more in college football, I think. I think there's something to it in pro football, but you're right. No doubt. Younger people, and also it's not their job, and there's other distractions too, right? Like the distractions of an NFL player typically, it might be like you have family stuff or whatever, but you know, you don't have like all the stuff going on like on a college campus. But where it plays out is in preparation.
Yeah.
And that's where I've seen teams that have overachieved. It's because they hear whatever, it's a rival they're playing, they know they're big underdogs. It's just whatever the situation, it's like this the week of preparation is so good that you know pays off in how they play. And by the way, apparently they're doing some good preparation in those practices.
Yeah.
At NC State, apparently.
Apparently they are.
But NC State, like, first of all, Grayson McCall is a very talented player. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, NC State can move the ball on Tennessee. Kevin Concepcion, there was one guy in that game who you're like, ooh, look at this guy.
He's really
wide receiver. He's very good. The defense last year, number 3 in the nation in third down defense, 4th in picks, 17 picks. You got Aiden White, a great corner. They get Jahad Carter's Ohio State transfer at safety. Look, Dave Doran puts together good defenses. Now, this scheme with Nico playing like he did the other day, you know, they could get that scheme could get humbled. But for the most part, he's been able to keep the score down, create turnovers, you know, be efficient defensively in the key areas consistently. And it's a 9-win team. It's a consistent good program, you know. So, like, this is not just an absolute rollover game. This is a ranked team. It's just like I agree, like, with Urban Meyer and people who watched Tennessee the other day and like, whoo. I get that it was FCS, but this looks like some serious firepower. And that's the question is, like, I think NC State can probably, you know, get some stops and things like that, do some good things. But I think ultimately when it comes down to it, it's going to turn into, can NC State keep up on the scoreboard?
Well, can they keep up? And, you know, this is a game, and I totally agree with what Adam Sparks said the other day. I think we discovered absolutely nothing about Tennessee's secondary against Chattanooga. Chattanooga was so concerned with the defensive line that they were trying to get the ball out as quickly as humanly possible. Number one, like, can NC State's offensive line hold up against that front when James Pierce is unleashed and just the rotation of guys that they got? And if they can at least hold up adequately, what sort of a strain is that going to put on Tennessee's secondary? Like, I think this is the week where you start to figure out what Tennessee's got back there in the secondary, would be my guess. Because there was nothing that we learned on Saturday.
Right. No, for sure. And that's, you know, like, I think that the Tennessee front and the NC State running game, I mean, that's where I worry for NC State, because you have to have some balance. I mean, Grayson McCall, again, he can do a lot of things, right? He's a talented player. But can they straight up run the ball on Tennessee? You know, that's where I think the part about Tennessee that just wasn't even relevant really in the opener, that's what you, if you're a Tennessee fan, you hope really shines in this game, is that defensive front on paper should be one of the best in the country.
Ty on the text line says, I watched Hendon Hooker, Joe Milton, and Nico all in person the last 3 years. Hooker was very good but had limitations. Milton lacked touch. Nico looks special. UTC wasn't good, but his throws were about as perfect as they can get. I mean, I talked about that on Monday. Like, there is something to be said for putting the ball exactly where it needs to be every single time, which is basically what he did on Saturday. Now, when the competition goes up and there is more of a worry about the rush, and you do, I mean, there are going to be times in this game where he's got to evade the rush and make throws on the run or get rid of the football quickly or, you know, gets tricked by something. Like, you know, he still is, what, 19 years old heading into all this? Like, he's going to get tricked by something at some point. So how many mistakes does he make? How many mistakes can NC State force him into? Or is it just going to be another one of those games where you get to the end of it and you're like, geez, that was just about as clean of a game as it gets from Nico?
Yeah, this is the first full-on. He had a limited offensive playbook, and they were careful, and he did a great job in the bowl game against a really good defense in Iowa. And then last week is just target practice. So this is the first, you know, like full-on good opponent, you know, full command of the offense game that we're going to see from him. I will say on the Hendon Hooker stuff, I mean, you say his limitations, okay. But if after two seasons in this offense, which is what I think Nico will play, if he has more than 6,000 yards with 58 touchdowns and 5 picks, then while you know, 68.5% passing, okay. 9.7 an attempt. You know, I mean, let's give Hendon Hooker like the credit. He was the favorite to win the Heisman 2 years ago until they went to Georgia.
Yep, I agree. Now, having said that, I do think...
Having said that, well, all due respect, Hendon.
I think you would agree in terms of prospect and NFL upside, it's a different story that we're talking about here with Nico.
It is. No, I do agree. But, like, this is where... I mean, I think Saturday is really where it starts. You know, can he be that level of consistent player?
Right.
And player who not only makes big plays and makes really important plays with his feet, I think he can do all that, but then does not make the mistakes. I mean, that was such a 50, what I would say, 58-5.
It's pretty absurd. Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Is Tennessee going to roll all over NC State? Is this a bad setup for the Vols heading into this game with all the hype they're getting this week? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, September 17th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, September the 17th. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders on the road, taking on Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Pre-game starts at 1:45, kickoff at 3:15. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Looking ahead to Tennessee and NC State coming up on Saturday. Is this a trap game for Tennessee coming up? It is a top 25 matchup. Everybody, and I mean just about everybody, is picking Tennessee to win the game, and some are picking Tennessee to absolutely roll in this game. Brad on the YouTube chat, who appears to me to be an NC State fan, says, Pac sold out their ticket allotment, so it should be a good environment there. I could certainly see it being a repeat of their matchup several years back when Dooley was the coach. Pac have been overhyped all offseason. They could still finish 10-2 and not meet expectations. Concepcion, our only SEC-caliber player, and also says, keep this in mind, Tony Gibson, NC State defensive coordinator, pretty darn good. He'll throw some stuff at Nico that he's not seen yet. Drake May, never beat the Pack. That's from Brad in the YouTube chat.
Ooh, nice little stat on Drake May. There you go. Yeah, look, I mean, this for Tennessee, this better not be a trap game, right? You better be excited about this. This is a huge game on the schedule. Neutral site, prime time, ranked teams. I mean, you know, and again, it's, you know, sometimes a team looks rough in an opener, and then it's a sign of things to come. Like with Florida State now, I'm confident in saying that is an overrated football team. This greatest defensive line in the country crap is just what? And so two games now, I think we've seen it. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get better, but sometimes it's just a mirage, and it's just you're not – I think it happens sometimes to teams that play an underwhelming opponent and they have a big game in the second game, right? So I just – I on paper, NC State is a pretty good football team. Like, I mean, Grayson McCall is going to have an absurd game, you know? And Concepcion, who we've talked about, is going to have a ridiculous game. But it's not like that's impossible. If the Tennessee secondary is the weak point of the team until further notice, and I think they'll be the weak point this year. It's just a matter of how weak, right? So we get to see a couple plays out there where a DB is just totally whiffing on a tackle and a 8-yard run becomes a 50-yard run, you know, and things like that can spiral. That's one thing that we've seen with Tennessee football in the last couple of years.
Phil on the text line says, NC State is absolutely atrocious. Had all they could handle against Western Carolina. Vols getting lucky to get them there last week in the top 25, and it's going to look like a big win against a ranked team. The reality is NC State, not even a top 50 team. It was from Phil on the text line. Phil is down on the Pack. No doubt about that.
So we got an NC State fan, and now we got a North Carolina fan coming in here and talking about NC State football. Yeah, again, I would just be hesitant to – I watched it, and I wasn't impressed with
they
the
did
Western
not look
Carolina
good.
Game. But, yeah, I mean, how many times does a college – I think even more than the NFL. And the NFL does too. But how many times does a college football opener lie to us?
Very often.
It's a habitual liar.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Now, having said that, you know, it is a really good coaching matchup. Like Heupel's offensive scheme, you know, Dave Doran, as you said, always finds a way to have a good defense and a good team. Like, he's a good coach. So, like, it's a pretty good coaching matchup heading into all this. I do wonder, like, if the offensive line – and, look, the offensive line was fine against Chattanooga. You expect him to be. I like what they've got on paper. It is, like, Hurd at left tackle – what is that going to look like all season long? I do think that they've got, you know, five guys that they feel good about starting. I think it might stretch to seven. And then after that, it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of young guys who just haven't played a lot of football. So, number one, can you stay healthy on the offensive line? Can those five guys give Nico good enough protection where he can just sit back there and slice and dice? Because, look, one thing I think we do know about him, and the ability has been obvious, I feel like if you give him some time and you give those receivers enough time to run the routes, like he is accurate with the football. I mean, he's been accurate with the football from the moment he walked in the door up there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the biggest differences from Milton to him, I think one of my biggest criticisms of Milton is just his sack ability. You know, like he just – when he got outside the pocket, he had a lane and he took off. He was a good runner, but he did not have a great feel for it. And I think he took some sacks that Hendon Hooker would not have taken. Hendon Hooker would have got out of those situations and either run or, you know, kept his eyes downfield and made a play. And that's where I think that's one area where they're definitely going back to more of that, which I think Nico has a really good feel in that pocket. I know it's a limited sample size, but even in the Iowa game, you saw that, right? For sure. You saw some situations where he sensed it and got the heck out of there. I mean, he got sacked a few times too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he's not going to take some sacks, but I think he will make good situations out of, even if he doesn't get great protection, a lot more than Milton did. But yeah, when it comes down to it, that's a huge question of the tackles, the add. And again, you add the third tackle from LSU, which doesn't sound exciting, except that the other two guys are both going in the first round in this next draft. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a pretty good add. And then, you know, a better move at right tackle. It should be an upgrade there too. But, yeah, this is definitely a game that will test that.
Well, and by the way, like, you know, everybody's thinking that this is going to be some fireworks show from Nico in the passing game, which it could be. We'll see what happens there. But we know this about Josh Heupel, and we know this about this offense. They love to run the football, and Dylan Sampson is a really good player. So, like, how much of his kind of footprint is going to be on this game of what he does? Jalen Wright, obviously a great player for them last year. He led the nation in yards per carry. You know, they've had some really good backs over the years in this offense. Sampson is a little different from the standpoint of, I think he can be a big-time weapon in the passing game too, which they, you know, he's been out there. It's not like he hadn't played the last few years, but he's unquestionably the number one guy now, and I think he is more equipped in the passing game than some of the other backs they've had, even though, you know, Wright made some plays in the passing game too.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's definitely an upgrade there. I mean, Wright was special. just in terms of his speed and power, you know, but Samson's going to have a huge year. That's one thing Dave Doran talked about this week is he's like, there's a lot of teams that run this offense, but this program really emphasizes running the football. And it's true. They've had consistent success. You watch the offense and you wonder how anybody who runs it, if you have what you need in the passing game, wouldn't have success because you have such light boxes, you know? I mean, it's just you force teams to take people out of the box and declare themselves, but Tennessee is going to run it, well all year, and that's a huge part of this game. And who's after Samson? You think Seldon's the best guy?
It was Seldon the other day. So does that? I mean, it's Chattanooga. So what does that mean? I don't know. It was Seldon the other day. You know, I think they're, you know, Peyton Lewis is coming along, but I think he's probably fourth on the list right now. Bishop, you know, had a touchdown run the other day, so I think they feel good about him. But I would probably say Seldon is number two. The other thing to keep an eye on here, you know, Tennessee, is as well as they played and as good as they looked against Chattanooga, it was Chattanooga, and they didn't show a lot. Like, I don't know that they lined up in a wide stack one time, and we've seen them do that, where they stack two guys on one sideline, stack two guys on the other, and that's the way they go. What sort of wrinkles does Heupel have in this game that they just did not show the other day? Interested to see.
Yeah, and we're also going to find out for sure more about that receiver depth chart and really how many guys he wants to play and who's ahead of who, you know, in a game like this.
Yep, no doubt about that. Real quickly on the text line, I got a question from Teddy in Nashville. Question for Joe, where does UT's backup quarterback rank in the top 10 college backup quarterbacks?
Yes, Teddy. I love it. I'm going to revisit this text line and a version of that question later.
I'm good. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Coming up at 7:45, 615-737-1025. Speaking of Capital J journalist, a very fascinating question asked at the Brian Callahan press conference yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We're live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson normally joins us every Thursday at 8 o'clock. He is traveling to Kansas City. So he is on his way to Kansas City for the season opener tonight. So Charles, unable to be with us today. We are efforting him for tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes, but hopefully we can connect with him tomorrow. He'll be there for the game in Kansas City tonight. I believe, Joe, memory serves me correctly, that he is also covering the game in Cleveland this weekend with Brady. So
he is, he's
busy
doing
man.
He's doing the double dip. Yes,
busy man.
How exciting
that Charles Robinson. Yes, very exciting. Speaking of exciting, you know, those Brian Callahan press conferences, you know, it was funny. I was listening to Adam yesterday and D-Mace, and, you know, 12 o'clock rolls around, they cut to the Brian Callahan press conference. I listened to like 10 minutes. I was like, all right, I got to go in here and pick up my lunch real quick. Went in there, ordered an entire lunch, got it to go, got back out to the car. He was still talking. I was like, man, these Brian Callahan press conferences last a long time. He's just still going in there. And we got to the end of it yesterday, Joe, and a very important question was asked by our friend Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com.
Well, on the play sheet, I swear.
Yeah.
What's the basis of the color coding there? And you didn't appear to be laminated in New Orleans. Is that an indoor outdoor thing?
No, I like your questions about the call sheet. I can talk about that all day. No, I don't generally laminate unless there's weather expected. I like the feel of the paper, I guess. I've not laminated. I've been in the box for a long time, so maybe that'll change. But as of right now, no, I like the feel of the paper, and I can manipulate it easier. And then I would say for the color codes, there is some significance to what the colors are, but it's more so it just makes it easier for me to find things. So I kind of know where stuff's at, and then the colors, you know, as I look at it, I know where the third downs are in the run game and the play action. Well, I can't give that away because now they're going to know when I look at it where I'm. They're going to have some camera on me in the sideline studying where my eyes are looking at my call sheet.
Is it regular paper or is it hard?
It's a card stock. It's a thicker paper. Feels good on the hands.
An important question,
details,
though.
Details.
So Paul Kuharski with a police-styled interrogation of Brian Callahan. The lamination of the call sheet. When I heard him ask about the lamination of it, it made me – I just busted out laughing. It was hilarious yesterday. What did you make of PK's back and forth with Brian Callahan on the call sheet, and how excited are you that, oh, my God, we got to get to actual football games coming up on Sunday?
Well, not long after – I laughed too, and not long after that, I went to our grid of our segments for the show, and I wrote for this segment – PK has a weird laminated paper fetish for this segment.
Oh man.
But I just went to his account to see what we've got going on here. We got a beautiful picture of Callahan with the paper in his hand. Actually, you know, that picture, that's like type of picture that, like, I feel like maybe if you zoomed into that, do a little pixelating, you might be able to read some of those calls, by the way. Garis, you're trying to give away state secrets. But he tweets out the story, which says, quote, Brian Callahan's streamlined play sheet aims to boost Titans' efficiency. So first of all, I will continue to make fun of Kaharski about this, and I hope you'll join me in this. I think we will definitely have to make fun of him and his weird paper stuff and questioning.
Well, he got some crap last night at the fantasy draft, and then of course he went into the whole you know, some of us journalists, you have to ask some in-depth questions. Like, we got to ask some actual questions that nobody else would think to do. So there you go.
Oh yes, Woodward and Bernstein. He's not just one of the two; he is both in this. But in all seriousness, this is what he said last night, this is where things have changed so much, is now that everything is broadcast, like, because this is what writers have to do, and obviously you know this too, like, some, you're working on a story on whatever you're writing about a particular player,
yep,
and it may not be, you know, the 8th or 10th or 12th most important thing going on, but you're going to ask questions and probably multiple questions in a press conference where maybe there's something else going on, but, like, that's what you're working on, so... That's what you asked. So, I mean, this is right for, you know, people to listen to and say, oh, my God, what a you know, but I mean, I believe I've been there a lot of times. And it used to be, of course, in the good old days that these weren't broadcast live. And it's just like you had a press conference, you had a conversation, people got whatever they needed.
Yeah.
And sometimes there might be, I mean, there might be a moment of like, I'm 40, you know, but for the most part, people didn't like follow along with the press conferences, which frankly, it is kind of boring, right? Like, if you're a Titans fan, I mean, a lot of this stuff is pretty boring, isn't it?
A lot of it is. But then last year, you know, we had, you know, what are you doing with your hands? We had the Trey Avery stuff. Right. Losing sucks. Like, it got pretty exciting last year with Vrabel, and Callahan has been interesting so far. So maybe we're changing over now.
Tell you something, I could get absolutely killer ratings if I could somehow go back and get some video of some of the roundtables we had with Tom Izzo.
Oh, man.
You know, about 20 years ago or more.
If it's anything like the pre-show meeting. My goodness.
I mean, you want to talk about Tom Izzo getting after Charles Robinson, by the way. Who's the baby? Oh, we had some times. So, but that's the thing, too. It's like there's less stuff like that. And I think it's cool that Callahan does like this non-broadcast stuff, or he did during camp, you know, with people can kind of sit there more informally, no video and stuff, and ask him questions.
Fireside chats.
But there's a lot of
FDR about references over the last 2 days on this show.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's where PK got it, and it wasn't talking about the polio. But there's just way less of that now. You know, it's all performative, and it's all out there. And you know, I guess in some ways for some fans, it's like, I like that. Right. I'm sure some people are like, yeah, I like to listen to the presser. I like to hear the back and forth. And I guess the reporters become more characters. Right. But also it can be annoying, especially if you're working on a story like this. So I guess I'm kind of defending PK, though I will make fun of him just as we make fun of him for taking videos of disrobed men and putting them on the internet.
So a texter says, that PK paper question was almost as bad as when Paul asked Mariota how he takes his eggs in the morning. I forgot about that one.
I don't remember that one.
That was a good one, too. Jackson says, sounds a little two-faced from PK after making fun of people's questions yesterday. Maybe so.
Maybe well, of course. I mean, of course, when it serves his purposes, like, that'd be a terrible question.
Somebody else says, if someone else asked that question about the paper, Paul would crush them and rant about it for 15 minutes.
Now, that's an interesting, you know. That, I actually, like, that's what Stilly would do. That's what, like, that's where Paulie and Stilly would differ. They'd have a big argument about this on their show, their fantasy show that I keep imagining and dreaming as a possibility.
We're working on it.
I mean, PK, he gets mad about dumb stuff. Don't get me wrong. But, like, this if someone's working on a particular obvious angle, then the writers get that, and then the broadcasters are like, what are you doing, dude? I mean, and it flips around the other way. You know, writers get mad at, like, TV people for some of their questions and whatever.
Alex on YouTube says, I guess you could say Callahan is giving Titans fans a new deal. Has there ever been more FDR talk on a sports talk radio show than there's been the last 2 days?
Very good.
Gujarski wanted to fight him in the octagon. A lot of FDR talk going on.
Dennis says, add some American Psycho business card vibes. That's also. We got a lot of Dunder Mifflin, Mifflin jokes on there. Got a lot of Dunder Mifflin going on in the time. What about TPS reports? You know, this is a reference you don't get because you haven't watched that amazing movie.
It's true.
But this is a good TPS report joke situation, too.
I mean, look, nobody's going to get this reference because I don't know how many people actually watch this movie. But there was a movie that I watched probably 150 times growing up with Eddie Murphy in it called Daddy Daycare. And there is this one scene in there where they're trying to get their, I guess, their daycare license. And he just, the co-star, whose name is currently escaping me, just screams, laminated! And that's the only thing I thought about yesterday when PK asked that question. Just laminated over and over again. But I'm glad we know that sometimes the call sheet's laminated. Sometimes it's not. And Callahan likes, you know, kind of how the laminated paper feels on his hands.
Well, and so he did. You know, a lot of these guys, like, obviously Andy Reid's does look like a Waffle House menu, right?
It really does. When he had the Waffle House menu and the COVID face shield, it was maybe the greatest coaching look in the history of the National Football League.
That iconic. That should be like the new logo of the NFL. But yeah, I mean, one thing Callahan did point out, he's always been a box guy. He's always been up, right? So he doesn't need to laminate, but he may need to laminate. There's going to be some elements at some point this year, so look for that. Look out for Kaharski's follow-up story and series, investigative series.
The first time we look on the sideline, he's got a laminated call sheet. It'll be top story on our program the next day. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Today, you have to pick right now. You are making your team today, right now, for the rest of the season. Who are you picking and who is better, in your opinion, today, Caleb Williams or Mason Rudolph?
Good God. I mean, you... I'm not answering a Mason Rudolph question. So if you want to give Jared, that's fine. Give Jared the win. I mean, like,
fine, you lose.
Mason Rudolph, that's fine. I'll lose. I mean, it's so dumb. So that's fine.
Can I just ask a question though about your ever moving goalpost?
What are we doing?
Can I ask about your ever moving goalpost when it involves Rudolph?
You can say whatever you want, dude.
So you said top three, then you said top four, then you said top ten, then you adamantly.
Sure.
We keep playing a cut for me on your show on Friday where I kept asking Robbie, you know, to answer, by what metric are we judging this Mason Rudolph as a top 10 backup quarterback?
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning.
Blah, blah, blah. and then from there it went, wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown adult. For those of you who don't know,
Rexroad's just upset he lost. Yes, and I'm Jared versus Joe.
Hey, I volunteered for the L right there. I'm sorry. I got to call out Jared and Caroline on this. Like, I think, you know, Caroline, anything you can do, if there's a possibility of me getting triggered, I understand. Like, hey, let's go back to that. But, like, dude, are we seriously doing this now? But I'm doing a rant. I mean, there's no reason to even get into Jared's BS like on this. I mean, it's truly bizarre. But I'm doing this to thank people. In particular, you know, sometimes I get after listeners to Jared's show, not the ones who cross over with us, but just the listeners to Jared's show. I've called them, like, you know, fleas on a dirty dog's butt before, and that was probably a little bit mean. But Jared said something yesterday about it after this whole thing. For those who don't know, you know, one day I said something like, what did I say? What is he, like, number three in the league? And then we went through it, and I figured he was about 10th. And then it's become Mason Rudolph, backup QB in the NFL. The ranking of the backup
QBs.
Lasted
a grand total of a minute and 30 seconds.
Right, exactly. It was about 90 seconds. Hey, let's go through them. Okay. But apparently this is moving the goalposts. But I went to the text line. I went back on the text line after our conversation just to see. You know, like, where people, because I melted down and was like, this is a waste of everyone. Like, it's opening week in the NFL. Right now, I want to apologize because I'm wasting all your time by talking about this. But it is the Rex Rant, and let's face it, I say a lot of random dumb crap during the Rex Rant. Anyway, it's my free time to do that. And by the way, totally off subject, shout out to the Scanlins who were hosting the senior football dinner tonight, but it's at their house, and I just want to say thank you. I will show up and help in any way I can, but
it's good
for us to be the host and then not actually have to have it at our house. Pretty sweet.
Great
so
host.
I owe you something. Yep. Yeah, I know. Great host. Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Rocks Road.
Yeah, I'll have some chicken tenders. So anyway, I went to the text line, and what do I see? I see Billy from Bellevue. Agreed. Stop talking Mason Rudolph. No one cares. Bad radio. You did have some people saying, you know, I like when Joe goes nuclear. He, you know, can't take the heat. Sean, get him, Joe. He's completely not a name, not a word that's okay to use. But anyway, he supported me. OMG, I finally agree with Joe. First time ever! Exclamation points everywhere. Who cares about Mason Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer? This is all you have left to make Ran look bad, and it's just hysterical. Laughing emojis. Taylor. Rex Road is right. The Rudolph topic is a bit overplayed. I want to hear questions regarding the game on Sunday. Next text after that. I usually don't agree with Joe. See a theme here? But who cares about my backup is better than yours? And, you know, I got to say, and we got another text. Because, again, I don't care to have this argument anymore. It's seriously like there's beating a dead horse, and then there's, like, taking a sledgehammer to the glue. Like, I mean, what? This is insane. But I want to thank Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, who during the program, during this argument, and now, of course, I'm struggling to actually find this, sent a nice text because, of course, part of the argument is, you know, Jared, like the salary of Mason Rudolph. And so Sean Henry said, if salary ranks the player, Giants have the best QB. Woo-hoo!
Shout Daniel Johnson.
And, of course, that's right. And, of course, Sean is a Giants fan. Then, of course, Jared comes back. That's not true. He makes $40 million. Joe Burrow makes $55 million. Sean says, Danny Dimes is one of the 10 to 15 top-paid quarterbacks in the league and is not close to being one of the top 10 to 15 quarterbacks in the league. Pay does not equate to success. Drop the mic on his ass. Thank you, Sean Henry.
Hey, would you
I'm not talking about this anymore.
Would you take Nico or Mason Rudolph right now? Just ask.
Are you gonna compare their salaries?
Well, I mean, Nico makes pretty good amount of money.
Pretty close.
He's pretty close.
So anyway,
Diego Pavia?
I want to thank. Oh man!
Okay, I'll shut up,
man. I tell you what, that's a good question. I mean, we could do this all day, but I just want to thank those people. I want to thank the Jared listeners who weighed in and supported me and just, again, said the obvious, which is, guys, like, there's no reason more to talk about this. We had a 90-second flippant whatever throw-it-out conversation, and then, you know, bless Ian's heart. I love Ian. He showed up at a fantasy draft last night to say hi. You know, Jared has him, you go find this audio. Go find the audio. And he goes out, and then all of a sudden, Inspector Clouseau has to just take I mean, just take something and just bludgeon it to death. But thank you to you folks, and thank you to Sean Henry for bringing a little bit of sanity to the discussion. And I know that I've said already that we will never have the discussion again. I swear to you, it's over now. I'm done. Anything else can be said about it, I will not respond.
Right.
Rob says, how quickly did the Titans move on to Rudolph if Levis has a couple of completions? Well, you're out. Ooh. Here comes Mason. He's in. Now, I do in all seriousness, I do recall, like, I did see when Mason Rudolph signed here, there were some Steelers fans that were like, oh, good for Mason. He's going to get a chance to be in a quarterback battle with Will Levis. I was like, guys, I don't think that's going to happen. And it didn't. So.
That's the interesting thing is, yeah, some Steelers fans seem to have an inflated, a distorted view of him the other way. So
let's make a pass as a show. This is hopefully the last time Mason Rudolph's name is mentioned all year.
Yeah, Dylan says, OMG, please stop talking about Mason Rudolph in any context. Caleb says, I wonder how many, he's like, why do so many people not normally agree with you, Joe? LOL. And I said, we're talking about Jared listeners here, buddy. Okay, so which again, the ones who also listen to us, I like, they're good, but the independent Jared listeners, I think some of them are even on my side of this, which is very rare. Let
with
me
all
tell
due respect,
you. With all due respect to the dirty dog's butt.
615-737-1025, our phone number again. Charles Robinson normally joins us Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock. He is en route to Kansas City, so we will get back into the Titans and the Bears coming up next, and back into our conversation from earlier, some disrespect being heaped Will Levis's way heading into this season. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam. I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting than playing Chumba Casino. Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam. So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.